welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church, where our goal is to help you become successful in your relationship with Jesus. The first step? Join us in the Connect Room directly following service. This is for anyone who does not feel like they are connected to the family of God. Step two is to help discover more about God, yourself, and the church through Discover classes and Discover Weekend. You can get more info in the Connect Room. The third step leaves all the choices up to you. To develop, one, your faith through classes, two, your relationships through groups, or three, God's church through serving. Finally, we want to help you lead in life. Step four is a course to equip you with biblical principles for success, influence, and leadership. Come and connect after service to take your next step today.
Good morning. Good morning, family. How are we doing today? Happy Sunday. Happy Love Day, or as my son Julian likes to call it, Valentine's Day. So we're excited that you are here in the house of God today. There you go. Perfect. We have some quick announcements for you. Real quick, if you are newly attending church, or maybe you've been coming for a while, but you kind of feel a little bit disconnected still, we want to encourage you to make your way over to the Connect Room following service. That way you can meet some pastors and staff and just start to establish some connections and friendships here. Also, in that same room at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, we teach Discover class, and that is a great way for you to understand who we are here, what we're about, and how you play a part. So I highly recommend going to that class. It will really help you and give you some direction. Also, we have some great things coming up. We have Discover Weekend. So if you have been newly saved, or maybe you just want a refreshing and you're to walk in freedom in a new way, this weekend is for you. It's March 5th and 6th. It's just going to help define and establish how to stay in the freedom that God has for you. It's a powerful weekend. So I would challenge you all, if you've not already gone to that weekend, to go sign up for that. And lastly, guys, what's something that we haven't done in like a year? Baptisms! We have water baptisms coming up March 14th. We're going to get to use our brand new baptismal tank. It's going to be amazing. So if you have not yet been water baptized, I want to encourage you to go get signed up. It's powerful. It's not just a religious thing. It literally transforms you. It breaks things off, and it changes your life. So make sure you get signed up for that.
That's not the last announcement. This year is for Uproar the 10th year. Can you believe it? 10 years of God calling our younger generation into ministry, salvations, in the Holy Spirit. We are a generational church, and you all have funded Uproar for 10 years, creating generations of young people leading in the kingdom of God. And today, as you came in, you might have seen it out in the foyer. There's numbers all over the wall, 1 to 100. And what we want to do with that is we want to help fund Uproar again. So simply by taking one of those envelopes, whatever that envelope dollar amount is on the outside, is what you give. So if you pick number 5, you would just put $5 in the envelope and give it. So as you leave, take one of those. I don't care if you take the number 1. Pick any. And you, oh, that's very good too. You can take more than one. I still need to get out there. So everybody's going to leave the 100 for me, aren't they? It's okay. I'll take them both. I'll take more than one. I love to give. But make sure as you leave that you grab one of those envelopes so that we can continue to promote this generational Uproar conference that they just released the names of the speakers and the worship artists. Oh my goodness. It is going to be incredible. All of us adults are very jealous, but you can serve. So get involved on a serve team and then you get to show up. So it's great way to get involved. So make sure before you leave, you grab one of those envelopes.
Awesome. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Let's pray before we get into worship. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that we get to be in your house and in your presence. So, Lord, do what only you can do. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Are you excited to praise Jesus this morning?
promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you say. Though the storms may
I put my faith in enough.
Dios, no podemos agradecerte más.
We love you so much.
Te adoramos.
We thank you for your presence.
Te agradecemos por tu presencia.
We thank you for your glory.
Te damos gracias por tu gloria.
And we thank you that we can worship a faithful God.
Y te damos gracias porque podemos adorar a un Dios que es
You can work that word. Do whatever you want with it.
Que es justo para su palabra.
Today, Jesus, we submit our hearts to you.
Hoy, Dios, nos sometemos tu corazón a ti.
And we thank you that we can worship your name.
Y te damos gracias porque podemos adorar a tu
nombre.
Great
is your faithfulness. God is faithful.
Tú eres fiel.
Tú eres.
Tú eres fiel.
That's the one. Yes. I really wanted and asked Emily to come up because I saw online this morning we have some of our church from Mexico watching. Pancho, we wanted to give you a shout out and let you know that we love you and we thank Pastor Patricio in Mexico for all the work that he's doing in the city of Campeche, in Merida, in Cancun, and in two other spots that are being developed. And we are just so honored today. Our church is not a white church. There is no white church. Amen. We're a multicultural church. And this young lady, we are just so blessed. We love you. Were you nervous?
Yes, very. I could not figure out what faithfulness was in Spanish.
What is it?
Well, it's fiel. I know that's like you're faithful, but I don't know what faithful is.
I tried to learn Spanish, and I did that Rosetta Stone, and I failed. No, it's true. I failed. I failed because I can't say the words. I'm from Boston. I can't say the words. They don't slur. Are you running? I just want you to welcome everybody and pray for everybody in Spanish, please.
Bienvenidos todos los que están viendo en línea.
Whatever you want, love.
Okay. All right. Okay. Gracias. Te damos gracias, Dios, porque tú estás en este lugar. Te damos gloria porque eres fiel, porque te adoramos, porque tú eres fiel a tu palabra. Tú nunca mientes en tu palabra. Te damos gracias porque tú eres bueno. Te damos la gloria porque tú eres el Dios. Te damos gloria porque tú eres el majestuoso, el tuyo, toda la gloria es tuya, Dios. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I knew the amen word. I was good with the amen word. I'm just so blessed that we have such phenomenal people that call this their home. And we will be doing a missions trip prayerfully this year to Mexico. And if you would be interested in going, just go out to the information desk and sign up. My staff, this is the very first time they've heard this. But we will be doing a missions trip to Mexico this year. So if you would like to go, that you're more than welcome. We are just so blessed. You may be seated this morning. Thank you all for coming. I wanted to remind you, the bride is coming home. Now, I know this is prophetically true because I just saw Howard and Penny come to the church. Glory to God. Howard, I want you to know Howard gave a part of his life for this church. What that means is while he was building the swing set, he cut his finger off. Amen. He gave part of his life, and we appreciate the donation. Amen. Yes, the church will always be a part of you. Amen. I want to remind some people of some of the vision of the house. How many of you know that this building is our youth facility? Amen. This was never built for you and I to stay here. Amen. I just want to remind you of that, that the real purpose of this building was always to be for our children and our young people, and also for a Christian school. And right now, this area needs a Christian school. Can I hear an amen? Really, there are no elementary schools except, I don't think, no, there are no elementary schools until you get to Corning now. And so there's nothing here. And right now there's only one intermediate school and then one high school. That's it for this whole area. And I believe God, and we've been believing God for many years, that this building will be a school during the daytime. And we'll also be able to house, I'm believing God, for at least 300 to 500 teenagers on a Thursday night in this house. That has not changed. Amen. COVID cannot change the mind of God. Amen. It kind of puts a little damper on it here or there, but we are moving forward. And if you can look, you can see the house is almost full to the capacity that we're allowed to have in the building. And, you know, we are at keeping social distancing and things in that manner. But I can't wait for the finality of the busting loose. I don't know how many of you saw this, but CDC just put something online this week. And it was that if they kept the same criteria that they did over the last 20 years of death and how people have died, then the COVID that would go from 460 some odd thousand people die down to 35,000. I'm not saying it wasn't real. I'm not saying it isn't real. But what I'm saying is that the CDC now is even changing their tune, and their death rate has gone down. If they hold the same death rate as they did for the last 20 years has dropped down from 460 some odd thousand down to 35,000 people. And I just want you to know that it's a very interesting season that we live in. And because of that, the vision of His tabernacle hasn't ceased. And in that, we are seeing people saved, seeing people healed, seeing people delivered, lives transformed, and that will not change. I said, that will not change. Amen. The vision doesn't stop. The vision doesn't stagger. We are running. We're not walking. We're not jaunting. We are running this race to win. Can I hear an amen? And in that, every single week, as you know, we want to pay this building off. So we can, and we're actually already in the planning stages of the new building that will seat 1,200 people. And what I love about the new building is you'll all feel closer. You'll almost all be in the spit zone. Glory to Jesus. It's going to be a great time. And so we are believing God to pay this building off, to burn this mortgage. And in the back, you've seen it. We are asking that above your tithe and offering that you will ask God what He would have you give weekly or daily, a daily seed. And put it in the offering. All of this that comes in the red envelopes goes directly to paying off the mortgage. And I believe we're getting ready really soon. I don't see Carl here. I believe we're getting ready really soon to put another $50,000 down on the mortgage. And I'm believing God to pay it all off. Can I hear an amen? So whatever God leads you to, we would encourage you to do that. Because our goal is not just to get people born again. Our goal is to disciple people. We want to see people grow up in Christ. Turn to someone and say, you got to grow up sometime. We want people to grow up in Christ, know God, live for God, and have and do God's purpose for their life. This is the year of changing forward. And I've been so excited about this year. I remember when I shared the title with my staff, they told me, no. And I said, no. I win. Glory to God. It is the title of Change Forward. Why? Because this is what God wants to do in our life this year. God is going to move us forward. God's going to change us forward. So many of us have been latched onto our past, latched onto what it used to be. You know you got a problem when your best days were behind you. Say amen or oh my. When somebody sits back and says, well, you know, I remember the good old days. I remember that means that they don't even plan for new days. You see, God is the God of today. He's the God of the now. Thank God for the past. We can learn. We can grow. We were blessed. But thank God for what He's going to do abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. We have just begun. Can I hear an amen? We are not stopping. We are moving forward. We are changing forward in the plan and the purposes of God. This year, as we're changing forward, I wanted to establish, 3 weeks ago, we started preaching on what is unchanging. You see, you cannot have faith in something that is constantly shifting and moving. And so we started preaching 3 weeks ago on that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, I change not. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the absolute authority on earth, under the earth, and above the earth. There is none like him. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I love the fact that we can have a confidence in God, that we can sit back and know that he's not going to choose one thing for one person, another thing for another person, that he likes one better than this one, and that he has a better plan for this person than that person. And I want you to recognize that God is no respecter of persons, and that God loves all of us the same. Say amen. Amen. And in that, we can have faith to know that God is not vacillating. God is not transitioning. God is not trying to figure things out. God is not trying to make them up as we're on the whim. But God is established. He is stable. He is forever the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the I am that I am, the one and the only, the true and living God. He is the absolute authority over all things. When you have an absolute, it means it can't be shifted. It can't be changed. The problem with today, even in Christianity, is a lot of people have a God in their mind that is shifting and changing. Therefore, they cannot establish a level of faith in him or on him that is not going to be shakeable. But God is one that you can trust. Great is thy faithfulness. Today, we also have what's called the Word. 2 weeks ago, last week, I preached on the absolute truth. How a lot of people make up their own Bibles. We have their own concepts, their own intellectual perceptions of who God is, their own philosophical ideas that they've created and put God in. And that's who they believe and what they believe as truth. Somebody once said to me, "What is truth?" No, I have an answer for you. Who is truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So we have an absolute God, an absolute authority, and we have an absolute word, which puts us in a position of success. The problem with us as the body of Christ is the vacillation, because we have been in such a culmination of different diversities of life and mentalities and thought processes and rearings up. But God wants to corral us and place us within the understanding that God's word is absolutely true. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to completion. You can't add to it or subtract to it without getting all the curses in it. And God said that Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the one and the only, and there is none like him. Can I hear an amen? Our verse for the year is this. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. That, what I love about that, it's not going to ooze forth. It's going to spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? God is asking a question. He's saying, I'm getting ready to do something new, and it's not going to be something new that's just going to kind of ooze on the scene, but I'm going to make it so that it's going to happen quickly. The Bible calls it metatata work. It's a work that happens fast. It's a work that all of a sudden you weren't even expecting it, and bam, it's right there and already moving and already flowing. But the Bible says, will you even recognize that it's coming? There are many that have gotten born again, and many churches that are having their doors open and the name God on the doorpost, but yet they're not moving with God. I want you to know that God is moving forward, that he is a forward-moving God, that God has a plan and a purpose, and it's all written in his script called the Word of God, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Okay, let's sing that together. You ready? For those who are fresh. Now listen, I understand this, because you know that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness? That's a new song for Minister McKenzie. You know, she got saved as a teenager. She had no spiritual background. So even this song might be new to you. Ready? Here we go. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. All right, now we got your practice. Now we got your practice. You ready? Here we go. Four-part harmony. Ready?
The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand up. Hold on now. Hold on. Hold on. I what? 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 I'm sorry. I watched that. What was that movie we watched last night? It's so funny. What? She always falls asleep in movies. Napoleon Dynamite. It was so funny. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on. I stand alone on the word of... Hold on. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. Listen now, this is real. Because this is where I'm taking it. This is where God spoke to me. He said, I want you to take this one last length. Not only that I'm the absolute unchanging God, not only that I'm the absolute authority, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth, whether here on earth or in eternity, there's not one man, no matter how rich he is, there's not one woman, no matter how powerful she is, there's not one child, no matter how small they are, that will not bow their knees before the living God and declare that Jesus Christ is owner, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is King. There is none like him. Absolute authority. But then there's the absolute truth. When the absolute authority gives his absolute truth, then we have a guide to be able to follow our lives by. And that's what I love about the word of God. I will hide your word in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. That the word is a lamp unto my feet, come on, and a light unto my path. I love the word of God. It is alive, quick, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I love the word of God. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of my heart. I love the word of God because it is real, relative, and alive today in truth to transition our facts by truth. As a church, there's a truth that we've got to come to. Do I actually believe the Bible is true? This is the conflict. There's a conflict in the body of Christ because now we have so many people saying so many different things that they don't believe in the Bible. They believe in their concept of their Bible. They believe in the books and the chapters that they like in the Bible. But if you don't have an absolute authority and you don't have an absolute truth, you cannot have absolute salvation because you can't trust that it's actually yours. Without those two, there is no establishing of faith. You cannot have absolute faith unless there's an absolute authority with an absolute truth. So if in your own heart you believe parts of the Bible but not all of the Bible, then the problem comes down to is how can you trust any of the Bible? This is where a conflict comes into our lives, and we're going to see it right here in Scripture, that God is striving to get us back to the body of Christ. That's right, his church, back to believing that the Bible is wholly true, not just partly true. Say amen. Amen. If I got to coax that one, I got to say amen again. Amen. 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 The Bible is true. Amen. The Bible is my absolute truth. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. So important for us to make sure that we truly understand where God is coming from and what God's plans are, but God's plans cannot come to fruition. I want you to recognize that God said, I'm going to do a new thing, but he can't do a new thing unless the old thing is established. If your old thing is still shifting and changing and moving and not solid ground, then when he starts building a new thing on top of it, it will not last or end or remain. We've got to make a decision that yes, we are not of this world, but yes, we occupy this world because God has a purpose for us in this world. And one of the purposes is that we are going to understand and believe who he is as God truly, the absolute authority. And then he's given us his absolute word so we can have absolute faith to say that God said it, I believe it, and that's final. Matthew chapter 17, starting with verse 15, says this, Lord, have mercy on my son, For an epileptic suffers severely. For he is an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could not we cast that devil out? So Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing, shout nothing. I said, shout nothing. Shout nothing. If you're watching online, put it in the comment bar. Nothing. Nothing will be impossible for you. Today, there's a truth that we cannot move from. Today, and you know, somebody said to me, are you preaching about faith again? Baby, if I could preach 52 years of faith in a row, I would. If I could get away with it, I would. But I had too many people say to me, well, you know, I think I heard that before. Then do it. But the Bible talks about faith because faith is the only way to acquire from heaven. I walk by faith and not by sight. You see, you cannot acquire what heaven has for you as a son and a daughter and as the people of God. You can't acquire it by hope. You can't acquire it by just desiring it. You got to acquire it by faith. You see, and that's why if there's not an absolute authority with an absolute truth, you can acquire nothing by faith because you can only live by hope. Hope is, I hope I can see that. I hope I can touch that. Now you see, you need hope to activate your faith. But if hope only stays in that realm, then you have nothing to stand firm upon because you do not have great is thy faithfulness. You have, I hope it works for me. Faith is a mandatory when it comes to truly grabbing a hold of who God is and living within what God has for you. And many people, the body of Christ especially, has struggled with faith. This whole last year of COVID, I watched people abandoning their faith. I watched people struggle in their faith as they believe the governor more than they believe the word of God, as they believe the CDC more than they believe the word of God, as they believe fear more than the word of God. Now, I'm not saying that it's not real. I'm not saying that's nothing that we shouldn't be wise about. We are wise right here in this house. But when it controls you above the word of God, then there's been an abandonment of the absolute truth. Somebody said, they were mad at me. They said, well, I just think that you did not obey the governor. I obey the word above the governor. I obey the word above all things. Well, listen, if that's not true, then the church in China is going to get closed down because it's illegal to have church in China. But they still have church and it's still growing. It's still maturing. It's still exploding. Why? Because they put themselves out on the line and say, I obey God's word above I obey God above the government. You obey the government until there's a collision and then you obey God's word first. Say amen or oh my. Listen, you better get that in your spirit because that might be a reality here in the near future. As a believer, we have to believe that what God's word says is yea and amen. And this is the struggle with many of us believers. Listen now, what I'm talking about today is not for a few. It's for every one of us. Us, me, us. We will never outgrow the need for our faith. I'm just going to read some verses to you because I've got to preach really long today. I warned you. It's good. If you need to escape, now is a really good time. Hebrews chapter 11, because I actually am on point one right now. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. Now faith is, shout is. Not was, not could be, not woulda, shoulda, coulda been. Now faith is, it is now. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. The conviction of the reality, faith comprehending as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. For by this kind of faith, the men of old gained approval. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but think soberly as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing and 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 hearing the word of God. Many people have said to me, well, Pastor, I finished Rock Solid Faith 10 years ago, and that's the last thing you did. I've been teaching Rock Solid Faith. I wrote the books, and I still teach it every week, not because I have to, but because I love learning and growing and maturing. I love being stretched in the Word of God. And every time I teach the Word, there's a fresh revelation. I love the fact that God will illuminate another part of a verse that I'd never seen before. Even when I'm preaching today, I was stuck in this, living in this, being convicted by this, being transformed by this in the book of Matthew. As I've preached this message, I can't even tell you how many times, especially on the road as an evangelist, as I'm preaching that you just need a mustard seed of faith. But I'm here to tell you, we've got to have the collision of truly either believing that God is the absolute King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he is the absolute authority over all of heaven and earth, and that he has given us the absolute word with clarity of direction that we can place our faith within, so we can have absolute faith. But we can't have it unless we believe it, and we won't believe it until we're confronted, and we won't confront it until we have a problem. Anybody here have a problem before? Two problems? How many have a problem that was bigger than you? Well, you said, oh, Jesus. That's the only thing that come out of your mouth, and not the swear word. Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostle said to Jesus, show us how to increase our faith. Matthew 16, 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Everything that we do is rack and pinion upon faith. Do we actually believe that the absolute truth is absolutely the truth above all situations and circumstances, problems and scenarios that come down our pike? We have to make a decision in our lives. Do we actually have absolute faith in an absolute truth given by an absolute authority? And this is serious, because I've never seen somebody pray without wanting an answer. How foolish would it be to come to church just to appease your religious spirit? We're here because of this. Can you do me a favor? Can you clap for us? I want you to know you're clapping for yourself. You are a brilliant individual. For faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You place yourself in a position of brilliance as the word of God, as you're going to be continuing in hearing. You're going to be growing in your faith. You're going to be conflicted in your faith. You're going to be matured in your faith. You're going to have God increase your faith even while you're here in this room. That's the power of the corporate church. Amen. I got two amens out of that one. I would like to have had three. Hallelujah. Jesus said something that was very powerful here. After he rebuked the devil, actually before he rebuked the devil, where was he? Now I want you to recognize there are only 9 disciples here right now. The other 3 were with Jesus. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. So the 9 disciples were down on earth, and some man brought his child who was demon-possessed. Now that man had to have heard that they could cast out the devil. They weren't looking for Jesus. They were just looking for anybody. And they came to the nine and figured there must be enough power within the nine to cast out this devil out of my child who's thrown down in the fire, who's been trying to be drowned by this demon spirit, who has epileptic fits. Is there any way? Come on now, I'm coming to you for help. He brings his child and the disciples, the nine disciples, could not cast out this devil. Well, Jesus and the other three come off the mountain, and then they come into the presence of the other nine, and then what's happened there is all of a sudden you have the man runs over to Jesus and says, "Hey, listen, your disciples could not cure my son." Now, we all like to think about Jesus as this love, 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 love. Love. That he never said anything harsh or crass or intense. But I want you to look at this verse. This is intense. Jesus looked at the nine disciples. Listen now, he wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to his own disciples who he had been training for years. Watch now. Who in Matthew chapter 10 had already been sent out by Jesus to go do what? Cure every manner of disease, cast out devils, and heal and raise the dead. He told them, go do that. They came back in the book of Luke. We see in the book of Luke chapter 11, they came back with such excitement. And they said, Jesus, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, man, don't be excited about that. But be excited that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Because I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. That's no big deal. He's already defeated. I'm going to make an over show of him according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And I'm just going to let even the eternal world know that he's whooped. So these guys had already done miracles. They had already opened blind eyes. They had already cast out devils. They had already raised dead people. They had already done all of this. But I want you to realize something. Your past faith will not always be strong enough to meet your now need. So here they were, the now needs in front of them, and they don't have enough faith. This is what Jesus said. You ready? He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. Now, I don't know about you. I don't really care what tone that comes in. Or even if you're smiling when you say it, you just go whooped. Bam! The word faithless means little faith. Now, how in the world could these guys have little faith if they've been casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, now they're in a position where, come on now, why don't I have faith? Because we always, so many people rely upon what they've been and what they've had instead of what they have right now. You see, it doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. It doesn't matter where you started only. It matters where you're going to end finally. It's time for the body of Christ to pick themselves up and start saying, I need more word than I've ever needed before. I need more faith. I need more faith than I've ever needed before. I need more power than I've ever needed before. And I'm not going to get it by sitting back and singing kumbaya. I got to get into the word of God that is going to cut me both ways, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Cut me inside, God, as I'm cutting the devil on the outside. Jesus, I need to stand in victory and power. But that's not going to happen if we placate ourselves with today's reality and realism that we've got to make everybody happy and make everybody agree with us. I'm here to tell you, the word of God is not always agreeing, and the word of God better cut you, because if it never cuts you, it means you're hard-hearted. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, the scripture says. Faithless and perverse. Now, I want you to know that that's just not encouraging. The word perverse there doesn't mean nasty. The word perverse there means twisted and crooked. Now, what's amazing when you understand twisted and crooked is that none of these started this way. How many of here have ever, come on now, you have an extension cord, you have five things that are going to the same, what do they call that thing? Power cord, what do they call that? Thingamajiggy Bob.
I don't even know.
Surge protector.
There we go. Thank you.
Power strip, surge protector, something like that. You have all these cords going to it, and they were straight when you put them in back of the TV. But then you reached down after a few years and went to pick it up. How? They must be alive. Because I don't know who you are. Every time I laid them down nice, they come out twisted. Everything in the dark gets twisted. But you know, there's a truth that they're still cords. And at some point in time, you've got to start untangling. Now, how many of you know I am not good at this? I am not good at puzzles. Oh, wait a minute. I hate this toy. You know, it takes work to untwist things. And a lot of believers don't want to work. You know, there are some things when you're talking about faith that take work. And the work means you got to bring your thoughts and imaginations into subjection. You sometimes got to make decisions who you can hang around, who you can't. You got to make decisions who you can hang around, who you can't. It's not easy to untwist things, especially when you started and they were straight. You see, every man's been given a measure of faith. Our faith all started straight. Stinking long cord. Really? Everybody's got an opinion. No. Because you can't help somebody fix their faith when it's tangled themselves. It's an internal thing. Because it got tangled in the dark, so you got to unwind it yourself. Isn't it amazing that it gets so twisted so fast, and yet so many Christians are okay with it? We're okay with our perverse faith. We're okay with believing just in hope. We're okay with just having what we have and believing as far as we're believing. But God is not calling us to be that way, especially in these last days. He needs the body of Christ to rise up with power and authority because they recognize and have submitted to the absolute authority, saying, God, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Whatever you want to do with me, I don't care. I've been sold out, given up. Lord, whatever you want, I trust you because you're the absolute truth says that you will bless me and not curse me. Your absolute truth says that if God is for me, who can be against me? Your absolute truth says that you will send your angels to a camp around about me. Your absolute truth. You see, I want you to recognize something. If you don't have faith, you can't have what the truth says. If you don't have faith, you don't submit yourself to the living God. At some point in time, you got to submit to whomever your absolute authority is. And if it's a man or even yourself or even your own philosophical ideas, then you're going to have a bad place when it comes to faith. Because you've messed yourself up so many times. Say amen or oh my.
Amen.
I don't care who you are, you messed yourself up. How many recognize that you made at least one mistake in life? Two. Three. You made some that if you could go back and change them, you would. Whoop. How many of you caused yourself, because you made it, you put your faith in yourself, you made yourself a decision that literally it affected you for years? this perverse, this twisted, this crooked faith started. Not, it's not our fault. Turn to someone and say, it's not your fault. It's not your fault where it started. But it's your fault if you continue to allow it to live. It started, and we talked about it a little bit last week, in Genesis chapter 3. I want to remind you that God said, let there be light, and there was light. That the absolute truth, Jesus, he said, I was at the creation in John chapter 1. The Holy Spirit brooded over creation. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet one. Triunity of the Godhead. God created everything so perfect, and he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let us give man dominion over the earth. Genesis 1:26. He planted a garden for mankind to enjoy, and it was plush and beautiful. There was nothing lacking, nothing missing, and nothing broken. Everything that man could ever have, God already created in the garden. That's why when they say we have to protect our environment, come on now, this is how I'm going to get bad here. This is why when they say we're going to run out of trees by the year 2000, is what they told me in high school. It's a lie from hell, because that means God screwed up. That way he's not absolute authority. We're going to break through the ozone layer. That means God messed up, because God couldn't keep his own universe together. He said, come on now, no way of promise. Seed time and harvest, seasons, these things will never stop. We will never have lack of production because seed in and is of itself. You will always have grass. You won't have to go out on this spring and go, in the name of Jesus, grass, come. Because the divine truth, the absolute truth said, God put life in the seed itself. So when people stand back and say, we're destroying our environment, I'm telling you, the environment will last until the last time that God needs it. Yes. Say amen or oh my. Amen. That was free. That had nothing to do with the sermon. You guys like my new sneakers? Shazam! You like that? Can you see the pink flamingos? Hey, hey, hey. So here we have Adam and Eve in the midst of the garden and Father God walking with them in the cool of the day. I want you to know they recognized absolute authority. They recognized the word because God made a statement to them. I'm going to create all of this, but there's one tree I don't want you to touch. So God gave a word. And they were okay with that word until Genesis chapter 3. See, the twist or perverse generation began with Eve. Now, for all the guys that say, see, Eve, it's Eve's fault. Here, I want to remind you, gentlemen, Eve was deceived, but Adam willfully chose to sin. So here we have Eve is by herself. For whatever reason, her covering wasn't where he was supposed to be. And the devil comes up and says, did God really say? Did God really say that? Watch. The twist was questioning the absolute authority who gave the absolute word, which they should have had absolute faith in. The twist and the crookedness came because at that moment she had made a decision, beguiled or not, she made a decision that she was going to abandon the absolute authority's word. Come on now, I just want to get real. My wife was healed the first time of cancer. It was a miracle. She wrote a book about it. In the book is the proof of the miracle. But many people think that God Cannot Lie book is about the miracle. It's not about the miracle. The actual God Cannot Lie book is about
how the devil tried to play with her mind after the miracle. You see, the enemy is so desperately striving to get you to question the absolute truth. Because if you question the absolute truth, then you cancel your garden. The twist, the perversion, the crookedness didn't even arrive until she actually gave ear. To the devil saying, God doesn't tell the truth. God's a liar. If God really meant that, he might have said it a different way. You can't trust God. He doesn't have your best interest. You can't believe God. He's a liar. He lies. You just haven't seen it yet. Here's Eve. Up to this point, she believed the absolute authority and the absolute word. But something happened to where now she resigned herself. Listen, whenever you start allowing yourself to listen to something that quotes opposite of the absolute truth, you have now positioned yourself to lose your garden. You got to make a decision. I cannot stop the initial thought going through my mind, but I don't have to let it nest in my hair. Amen. And for all you bald men, on your bald head. Take into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. You see, the enemy is never going to stop. His devices have never stopped. He's doing it the same way at all times. He's saying, listen, if these people actually believe the absolute authority, if these people actually believe the absolute truth, and they put absolute faith in what God's word says above their circumstances, above their problems, above even what the doctor would say, above what the financial world would say, above what the governor would say, if they actually put their faith in a position that is above, then I can't win. But if they actually put their faith in God's word first, he can't win. Amen. And the moment that we allow ourselves to believe, the moment we allow ourselves to listen to the voice of the enemy that is speaking opposite of the scripture, we are surrendering our faith and saying, God, you're a liar. God, I can't trust you. God, your truth is subjective to the situation surrounding me. God, you're not powerful enough. God, you're not real enough. We've got to make a decision because we're in a real crossroads in our walk with the Lord. We're in a real crossroads. You know, do you mind if I use your husband just a little? Prophet Ogunwumi was a friend of mine, a very close friend. He was a brother, Pastor Andrea's husband. And Prophet Ogunwumi lived in Liberia. And in Liberia that year, there was great turmoil to where anybody who spoke a, correct me when I go wrong, spoke a wrong dialect, they put them in concentration camps, in family units, and then would kill them. And so they were put, Opa, right? Opa and the family were put in a place. And what they would do is each night they would come to a different place and they would pull the men out. They would take a machete. He told me this one himself. And they would cut the limbs off while their families listening to them scream in agony and pain. And then they would take the women out and rape them. And so Prophet was telling me that that night was the night that they were going to come to their place. And Opa, they fasted and prayed. Sought God. Let me tell you something. If you ever wanted to see a man of faith, it was Prophet Ogunwumi. Dude, I tell you something. And they prayed. And that night, those men with the machetes got outside the door. They could hear them arguing amongst themselves. And then they got in a big fight. And they skipped that one and went to the next one. Save the family. We talk about faith. We're talking about, do I have enough money for dog food? You know, my shoes are a little worn out. My toenail, it's ingrown. I have horrible gas. Well, you know, my car, you know, it's only worth a few thousand. Well, you know, we're in other countries. They're put in a position where the absolute authority and absolute truth has to absolutely work or they're absolutely dead. A man that I coached was from Nigeria. And he said it was the same thing. It was a dialect thing. So it's like you speak Southern, I speak Bostonian. You're going to try to kill me just because of that. No other reason. You're from the same country. And he said, he was a pastor. The Holy Spirit said, don't go to church tonight. Gather all the people and go 10 miles up the road and huddle at this location. I'll tell you why. He gets there, and that night the guerrillas came in and were going to slaughter. They burned the church. They were going to slaughter everybody that was there. And then the mayhem began. And he kept saying to me, I know my father. I know my father. I know my father. And he said, my family was delivered. My whole family and my church. We struggle in faith because we're a twisted generation, because we put so much faith in our money, capabilities, intelligence, that we forget we aren't that smart. We got to make a decision. Will I believe in the absolute truth or not? You see, each cord has to make a decision. Will I get untangled? And even when you untangle it, many times it's still crooked. You see, your faith is a theory until tested. But you can't have faith if you're not in the world, in the house of God. Right. Oh, I don't need church. I just need the Bible. Really? Then Jesus screwed up. Because even Jesus went to church on a normal basis and preached the gospel. The disciples went to church every single day and then went to houses and fellowshiped. Why? Because when persecution comes, the American faith won't work. You see, because until, young man, you want to grab that side? Let's grab Mr. Orange. This thing is still twisted until stretched. Your faith will never stop being twisted until it's stretched. I remember when your son, you had a baby that the tumor was just as large as the child. Correct me if I'm wrong. How many centimeters? The tumor was 10 centimeters. And what did they tell you? That he could die. And she came to church that night, and she said to me, I know that if you pray for me, I'll be healed. Actually, it was a Sunday morning, I believe. And I said, I believe. Her faith and her husband's faith was tested. Their child was tested. Their faith was stretched. Do you see any twist in this? Do you see any crookedness in this? Because your faith, when it's being tested, will either remain like this, or will be like this. By the way, God absorbed or destroyed the tumor. How old is he now? He's 11 years old now. You know what's amazing is even as we've stretched this, now it's straighter. Jesus looked at his disciples, come on now, and simply said, you faithless and perverse, twisted, crooked generation. Now, if I was your friend and I said that to you, you wouldn't say, dude, you're my best friend. How about when Jesus, the woman came and her daughter was severely demon-possessed and she was not a Jew. She was Samaritan. And she came and Jesus said, listen now, I've been sent to the children of Israel. I didn't come for little dogs. Can you imagine coming up front for prayer and I say, listen, man, you're just a little dog. We are so soft. We are so easily offended. It is one of the quickest attacks of the enemy in people's lives to offend you. Because if he can offend you, your faith now has failed. Because as it says in the book of Luke, that Jesus could do no mighty miracles because they were offended that he was just the carpenter's son. Your offense disables your faith. It makes you crooked. Are you crooked? Do you believe in the absolute authority? Do you believe in absolute truth? Is the word of God yea and amen, or is it yea and amen if I like it? Can I put my faith in God's word? God, great is thy faithfulness. God cannot fail. Come on now. I had an issue this year. You don't mind me confessing, do you? I'm almost done. Another 2 hours, we're out of here. I've prayed for so many people. I've seen, literally, I couldn't turn my back on God if I wanted to. I've literally seen so many miracles, from blind eyes to deaf ears where, I mean, there was just a metal plate in his ear. There was nothing there. A metal plate in his head from an accident. There was nothing there, and he could hear. I mean, it was undeniable. To people with brain tumors, I've seen people with arthritis healed. I've seen people with diabetes healed. I've seen people with crossed eyes healed. I'm talking, there's things you just can't deny. I've seen people with breast cancer. They went back to the doctor. There's no more cancer in their breast. Nothing was ever done. My wife just prayed for a woman just the other day, and she went back to the doctor. The doctor couldn't even find the cyst. Miracles. My wife was healed three and a half or four years ago of cancer. It was an instantaneous miracle. About a year and a quarter ago, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And the doctor told her she was going to die. Well, hey, man of faith and power, man, let's just take authority over this thing. Laying hands on her, speaking to it. Didn't leave. You have a choice. I had a battle. There's a battle going on. And if you're going to win. The battle was so many times I was in my prayer room saying, God, you did it this way last time. Why aren't you doing it this way this time? Can you see that cord? It's pretty straight, but it's got crooked marks in it. You know what happened to me? As I said, God, I don't understand. I know you're absolute. I don't question your authority. I know your word is absolutely true. I've proven it time and time and time again. But I'm not seeing it the way I'm praying it. And the decision had to be made. Was I going to get crooked and never pray for you again? Or was I going to stand the line no matter what the circumstances said, no matter what the proposition was, no matter how bad it might have looked, no matter how many times we heard death, no matter how many times we heard there is no hope, no matter how many times so few people make it through this. And if you do, you'll never be the same. I had to make a choice. Am I going to stay in absolute faith? Even though I don't like the way that it's unfolding in the aspect I want to see that miracle, I will see a miracle. I know what I'm proclaiming. I haven't changed my confession, by the way, from day one. But the moment you take your eyes off of the absolute truth, then absolute faith is absolutely lost. And now you are literally swaying in the wind, crooked, twisted, because now you have no firm foundation to stand upon. Every one of us got to make a decision. Your husband and wife can't make it for you. Mommy and daddy can't make it for you. Girlfriend, boyfriend can't make it for you. Auntie, uncle can't make it for you. Do you believe the word is true? If yes, let's get this one. Ready? When the stretching comes, as painful as it might be, a three-chord strain is not easily broken. Watch this now. Put a little bit more tension on there, kid. Come on, I'm a fat old man. Come on, let's do something. Okay. Ready? Watch. Lay it down. I'm not perverse. I'm not twisted. And I'm not crooked. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Absolute authority demands absolute truth, produces absolute faith, and that's the absolute collision. To choose to stand. After I've done all I can do to stand. Stand therefore in the power of his might. Come on now. You see, your absolute change this year can only happen if you believe in absolute authority, absolute truth, and have absolute faith. It will be tested. You will be stretched. But the question is not the stretching. The question is, will you go back to straight or remain twisted? God wants to build you with faith. The Lord spoke to me that this is the year that the bride will return. That Easter is going to be a great return. Even this morning, I can see a great return. I got a list this next week, and I'm going to start calling them. They haven't been here in 11 months. I'm going to start calling them myself. Saying, are you okay? Because I know you're not okay. You can't be away from God's house for 11 months and think you're okay. That's crooked.
There's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. I challenge you. This year, it's going to be the greatest year of your life if you allow yourself to have absolute trust in God. You can't always figure it out. Doesn't always make sense. And sometimes you cause your own problems. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But he makes a great scrambled egg. No, you're going to be all right. God says, I'll make all things work together for good to those who love me. Didn't say they're all good, but I'll make them work for good. Are you crooked? Are you twisted? This year, God's going to stretch you. I pray you come out shining. I'm the everlasting cheerleader. You know, you seen that little pink guy. Ever ready, bunny? That's me for you. Energizer? I don't know what the heck it is. It's a stupid bunny in a pink suit. Just as that thing will not end, your pastor loves you. Your pastors love you. The pastors of this church love you. We're going to cheer you on. Every once in a while, you might get a rebuke just like Jesus gave. But know that everything that we do is only for one reason. I don't want you to finish the race. I want you to finish strong in the race. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. Because I fight the good fight of faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each one that's in this room. I pray, Jesus, as those who are even watching online, that God, you will bring all of us to a true collision in our faith. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. 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 We don't want to be religious. We want to be like you. Jesus! Whew. Father, forgive us for our crookedness in our faith. You are trustworthy. You are absolute God. Your word is absolutely the truth. Forgive us for listening to the whispers of Lucifer. Forgive us for allowing this world to distract our eyes, even as Peter did as he walked on the water. You said to him, O ye of little faith. Thank you for the faith that we've had in the past, but God, we need fresh now. Jesus, wash our sins away. Oh God, draw us closer to you. Let your word become rhema, living and powerful, oh God, that we can't escape it. Jesus, we want to be a church, your remnant church in these last days that are willing to step out on nothing to land on something, that are willing to stand for your word above even acceptance from our community, family members. For Jesus, your word says, you came to bring a sword. You did not come to bring peace. Help us, Lord. God, I say it first, forgive me. Forgive me for times that I've questioned you. I speak to you as Job spoke to you in Job 42. I cover my mouth and say, forgive me for things that I have spoken that I know not of. I believe you. I stand with you. I stand for you. Make me immovable. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior,
I'm not asking you to join a religion or a church. I want you to know God. And today, if you do not know Jesus Christ, you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up. You know you're not right with God, man. No one has to tell you. You know you're not right with God. And today you want to be. Raise your hand up real quickly. I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Get your hand up. 5, 4, 3. Come on. Don't wait. 2. Last call. And 1. If it's you online and you want to give your heart to Jesus, let's all pray together right out loud right now. Jesus, I thank you that you're patient. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you have chased after me. Today I'm responding. I'm submitting to the divine authority. You are absolute. And I declare I'm a sinner. As your word says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I declare right now, according to your word, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I confess you died on the cross. I confess you rose from the dead. And right now, I call on your name. Save me, Jesus. Wash my sins away. Make me a child of God. I receive it right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer online, 97000 on your text, and write down in the comment, I am saved. Someone's going to get a hold of you. If you're online with us right now, you can literally just write there, I need Jesus, and someone's going to get in touch with you. We have a Bible for you. We want to encourage you. Remember, folks, we want you to grow, not just go. It's about you not only just saying, I want God, but we want to mature you. You need to join a group. You need to join. You need, what is this thing called? You need to join Next Steps. My staff always laughs at me because I can never remember any of these things. They have to write them down. They actually write them down on the altar for me. And today, if you've been here for a long time but have not connected with anybody, we have a connection room right on the other side of this wall. Your right, my left. Go right down that hall. We have some coffee for you, some stuff. And we want to introduce you to people. You're not in this thing alone, man. You don't have to do this thing alone. We're here for you. We're family. We want to run this race to win. Amen. Father, I declare blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare that we will not, Lord, not finish this race, but we will conclude it, fulfill it, and God's, you will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I declare in the name of Jesus, according to the covenant, there is no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no growth, no spirits of infirmity that are allowed on our life or in our homes in Jesus' name. And we declare that we will prosper in all things and be in good health, even as our soul prospers, that Father will have so much, the world will be convinced that we are doing something wrong, that God will be able to show them, no, we just serve Jesus. He's good to us. He's a good God. Lord, we love you. Bless us as this week goes on. We declare that we'll lead at least 3 souls to you this year for the glory of heaven. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Bless the offering. God, we give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you said, if we give, it shall be given to us. If we tithe, you'll rebuke the devourer and open the windows of heaven. Lord, we choose to obey because it is the divine absolute truth that if we give obediently, you will bless us. God, we give you all the praise and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Next week, we have a treat for you. Pastor Ron will be preaching, and she'll be preaching on what she's been going through. She wants to share that with you. I'll be up in Ithaca, preaching up in Ithaca. We love you. Have an awesome day. Please leave CDC regulation. Put your masks on. The offering plates are in the back. If you want to give a daily seed, that's in the back as well. Have an awesome week. We'll see you Tuesday night. Enjoy the snowstorm. Jeez. No wonder you opened the door for me. Thank you. Wow, do I have enough? Wow. My goodness. That is a lot of Pop-Tarts. Was it really? Joe and Melinda, where are they? Are they here? There they are. You guys are awesome. That is hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious. Are you guys...